Well, in the few minutes we have left tonight, I did want to kind of finish up our message from Sunday. I didn't quite get as far as I wanted to go into verse 15, but we're back in 1 John chapter 3, and we've been talking about the hatred that is characteristic of the family of Satan. It's characteristic of the wicked one himself. It's a malignant and spreading evil and wickedness that we discussed on Sunday morning as well. We looked at the negative example of that hatred, which was Cain. How are you not to love the brethren? You're not to love your brethren like Cain loved his brother, which he loved him so much that he slew him. We talked about the power that was behind Cain, which is that evil, wicked one. We discussed the act that Cain did, the violent and horrendous act of slaying his brother. And we also saw the emotions of jealousy and hatred that were behind that violent act in Cain's heart and life. Then we got into verse number 13, and we got that expectation of what you would expect from those that hate. What do you expect from those that are in the family of Satan? You expect them to hate you. Marvel not, my brethren, in verse number 13, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised and don't be set back and say, oh wow, I can't believe those people don't like me and they don't hate me. Well, if you're living the truth, if you're in the family of God and the truth is a part of you, then the world is going to hate you because they're diametrically opposed to that. Now, we got into verse number 14 and just quickly want to review some of the verbs that we talked about here. We know that we have passed from death into life. The word have passed, we talked about meaning like someone who's migrating to another country. They were in this country, they moved on to another. We as believers have migrated. We've been adopted. We've been taken out of this and put in over here in this new land. The land that the Lord Jesus Christ is the kind of the common bond, a land in which God is now our Father, a new fellowship that we have in Him. We talked about the spiritual life that we have. We've passed from death. That's the old pathway that we were on. That's the characteristic of being in the family of Satan. Dead in trespasses and sins, and then carried over into the life of God, a new land, a life of conscious existence in communion with God. And that new area of life is that we have a new outlook upon other people, a new outlook especially on our brothers and sisters, on our new family. In the family of the devil, you hated those that were of God. Maybe you didn't ever think of that. Maybe you don't realize that was true of you as a sinner. But sinners are characteristic. They don't love natural. They don't love the people that are of God. They don't love those that are God's children. But when we get transformed into that family, a characteristic is our heart towards that group of people changes. And we now have an idea of love for them. Verse number 14, we know we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you do not love the family of God, then you are still in that geography, so to speak. You are still in that land of death. You haven't passed from death into life if you hate the brethren. We also spent some time talking about the fact that in our world today, so many times there's an emphasis on love. There's an emphasis on social outreach. And we mentioned that those are good things. We do, as believers, need to have a heart of love and compassion for the lost sheep of the world. As Christ looked out as the fields ready to harvest. We need to have a heart of compassion for them and be able to give the gospel to them and help them in all those things. But so many times the guilty problem here is that those in the church many times don't want to love their brethren or have a problem with all these people that are supposed to be their family, but yet they're so concerned with reaching out socially. And they'll criticize and hate and despise those in the church that aren't helping like they should be. But meanwhile, those that are criticizing are hating the brethren. And that inconsistency, we mentioned that as well. Now, here in we get into this next verse, verse number 15. John is going to carry this one step farther. And he says, whosoever hateth his brother, not only do they still abide in death, but they are a murderer. And we talked about murder being the natural result of hatred in the heart. Acts of violence. Outward acts of hatred are murder and violence and those kind of things. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And as he says here, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You haven't passed into that eternal life. You're still in the land of death. Now, this passage of he that hateth his brother in verse number 15 is a present tense verb. It doesn't mean a random surge of hatred or a random, oh, that person really irritated me. I don't care for him today. No, it's a continual habit. We all probably have times where we have these random surges of, boy, that person's really getting on my nerves. You know, I don't think we'd be human if we didn't have those. But maybe it's your children or your wife. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Or maybe it's another person, one of your friends or a coworker, whoever. And he says, man, that person's really getting on my nerves and I've got a little bit of a surge of problem with them. That's not what we're talking about, because, you know, of course, if we have problems like that, many times the Lord convicts us and we have to get it right. But this is a present tense habit. The characterizing habit of their life is, I hate the people of God. Those that are in that boat are not in eternal life. They're in death, and they are going to be characterized by this practice of violence. You know, hatred in its very nature is always destructive. It's always destructive. I've told you about that before. Maybe when you're a young child growing up and you get mad at your brothers and sisters or whatever. I know I never did that. But you get angry at them and upset, and it always ends up being what? Destructive. I remember, you know, sometimes being a teenager, being so upset at my dad, just getting so angry, storming off and slamming my door. You ever had a child do that to you? Or maybe you did it when you were a child. I know I've done that once or twice, and then that got taken care of, and I never did that again. But, you know, dad would say, I'll just take your door off the hinges, and we'll see what you slam then. But anyway, we all see that hatred. I get so upset, I have to act. You've heard of all these, you know, I laugh when I hear of these athletes, these baseball players, sometimes they'll get so angry. Like a pitcher will have a terrible inning, he'll give up maybe 10 runs, 4 home runs, hit 5 batters, whatever, and he gets so angry, he walks to the dugout, he throws his glove, and he punches the wall with his pitching hand. Good move, man. Brilliant. Our anger leads to violence, destruction. That's the way man is. That's his sin nature. I see it even with, you know, I have little boys, and even Jesse, when he gets angry, you know, got to throw something. We have to manifest that hatred or that anger in my heart, and it always results in an action. That's the way that our hearts are in sin. Hatred and anger manifests itself in violence. And I've been thinking about violence. We talk a lot in our country today, in our wonderful America. We talk about societal violence. How are we going to stop the spread of violence? And there's so many things out there. You know, we're going to take all the weapons away, or, you know, we'll take all the guns away, or we'll limit the magazine size of a gun. Is that really going to stop violence? As I empty that one and put in another one, and empty that one and put in another one, and we don't want to get into a gun debate, but there's always a big talk today about the violence. What are we going to do about the violence? I know what we can do. We can build these people that are prone to violence. We can take them. We can build them brand new facilities to live in. We can give them free money to live on. We can pay for their housing, give them the EBD, whatever, T card thing, where they can pay for their own food and the government pays for, well, we'll change their environment. And buddy, they will just be able to stop being violent people. Does it work? No. I've painted in some of these places before, in Pensacola even, that were state-of-the-art, brand-new built, incredible facilities that are just really nice apartment complexes, and they built them for people that were in the poor, whatever, that were prone to violence and all that, and the places are destroyed in 2 or 3 years. They're terrible. They're just completely, they need remodeling. They're just, because you can't change man's heart. You can change the environment all you want, but it doesn't change the hatred that comes from the wicked one. The whole problem with the violence of our country isn't the guns and isn't the nice places and isn't we need better education for them. We just need to educate them on what violence is and educate them on how they're hurting people, and we can really talk to them and really change them inwardly and with this education and more money to spend on it and all those things. And then we get confused that people are still violent. If you take away somebody's gun and they get angry, they'll still find a way to be violent. I hate to break that news to people. You know, I saw some poster that was these people that, you know, the big gun debate today. Well, there was a group that is supporting the Second Amendment and stuff, and they have a big billboard out that said, Cain used a rock, not a gun. You know, I mean, what's the point there? It doesn't matter. Man is going to find a way to be violent. He's going to find a way because it's in his heart to hate, because he's with the wicked one. That's the power behind it. None of the violence will stop in our country or in society or in other parts of the world. It won't stop because violence is in the hearts of people that are in the family of the devil. We've gone in our country so far in sin and proliferation and what we do, the devil's deeds and all those things. It's the root problem of our societal issues. We're following the devil. He's our father, And his deeds we will do, as Christ says. And his deeds are violent. His deeds are murderous. His deeds are deeds of treachery. And unless there is a transformation in which people come out of death, out of that family, and into life, then those problems will continue to be the case. Violence, chaos of society will continue because that's what the devil's about. He's about rebellion. He's about hatred. He's ultimately about violent action. That's what it leads to. Now, I was looking up some statistics in our country. I just listened to these. These are from a website called the Peace Alliance. I don't know much about them, but I found some interesting statistics there that the United States youth homicide rates, that means young people, are more than 10 times that of other leading industrial nations. We have 10 times more homicides among our young people than other leading industrial nations. Back in, this is an older statistic, but in 2005, people that were of ages 10 to 24, 16 of them on average per day, 16 young people ages 10 to 24 were murdered every day. That was back in 05. I don't even want to know what it's like today. One in six women in our country are victims of either a completed rape or an attempted rape. That's violence. Those underage, here's one for you, those that are under the age of 25 account for 50% of people arrested for murder. All the people that are arrested for murder each year, half of them are under age 25. Why? Because in our great schemes of educating and changing environment, and talking with them and getting rid of the problems, the outer symptoms, instead of dealing with the root. With all of our talking, we've taken out something that they've needed. The truth of God's Word. The truth that they need to be transformed into life. And so since we've taken that away from our schools and our young people, they grow up in the mindset of hatred. They grow up in a system that encourages them to do what they want to do. That encourages them that they're in control, that whatever they feel like doing, they can do. Who cares about value? Who cares about objectivity? Who cares about all those truths that are purported in God's Word? Let's do what you want. So it's no wonder that 50% of those arrested for murder are under age 25. They've grown up in a system that has rejected God. When God's rejected, you stay in Satan's family. And what does Satan do? He murders. He hates. He commits acts of violent. The answer is very clear here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 to me. It's very clear of why is there violence in our world? Why is there so much of it? It's because that the devil's kingdom is trying to spread still. And people are in that kingdom. People are in his family. And there's no eternal life abiding in that. Those who have not been translated, they're going to do the deeds of the devil. They're going to commit those actions. There's no other option, by the way. Either you are in the family of Satan or you're in the family of God. There's no other option. There's no middle ground between them. And these are things that John is mentioning. Now, this negative example here in verses 12 through 15 of Cain leads to the acceptance or the expectation that those that are in the family of the devil will hate you. Don't marvel about it. And this hatred that is, he talks about in verse 14, he talks about it in verse 15, the murders, all those things have continued throughout history. Ever since man fell, we could go back and look at passages in the Scripture time and time again. Even after Cain, we read of others in that same chapter, near the end of the chapter, that talked about killing one or two different other people, and it continues on. You see violent civilizations continuing throughout history. You think about the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, even in recent, well, fairly recent history, where people were just burned at the stake. People were given to lions. People were killed, beheaded, whatever, because they professed faith in Jesus Christ. It's simple. Why does that happen? Because those in the family of the devil, those that are still in death, hate the people of God. And that hatred leads to violence. The day is coming back, I think, even in our great country of America, where there will be violence for those that love Jesus Christ. For those that are willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ, it's amazing to me the spread of Islam in our own country. It's scary. You talk about a violent religion, that's one. And they're intolerant, as we said Sunday, to everything that has to do with the Scriptures. They're going to want the same rights as everybody else. I saw a picture, I don't know if it was a made-up picture or what, but it was a picture of a restaurant, a fast food restaurant, that had a line, and it was written in Arabic and in English, one for men and one for women. because, and it had a picture there with that, and there were Muslims. I guess it was in a high Muslim area of our country, and they had their little garb on, and the men were on this side, the women were on that side. It's just a spreading thing. And we see mosques coming into our country and all those things. I tell you, don't marvel that they're going to hate you. Don't be scared. Don't be, oh, this just can't be. Don't be worried that the world hates you. Don't spend all your effort trying to get them to like you, because they're not going to. If you want them to love you, then give them the gospel. And if they get transformed through the gospel, then guess what? They'll love you, because now they're in life. And so I think so many times in our churches and our mindsets, we spend our time trying to get them to like us when we should just be giving them the gospel so that they will love us when they come to Christ. The only way the world will love any one of us is if a specific member of the world is transformed, is passed, as we read in verse 14, from death into life. The world hates believers. And if there is a mixture of the world and the church, then the church, no matter what they profess, is not a part of the family of God. If we're all friendly with the world and we're just loving them so much and we just got this great relationship and they love us and we love them and we're all the same, in order to love something, you kind of have to be similar to it. Like I said, what makes us similar? We have a common bond in Christ. We're on the same level. So if you love the things of the world, then that means you're of the world. And when we just try to convince ourselves that it doesn't matter, we'll mix it all together. There's no common ground between those that are full of hatred and murder, the family of Satan, and those that are in the family of God. And we try to manufacture a love sometimes, and it just doesn't work. The negative example here of Cain, the expectation of hatred, and the discussion that the only way to fix that problem in verse number 14 and 15 is to be transformed. That's the only way to fix the problem of hatred, murder, violence, is to pass from death into life. As we go out into life, I don't know what's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years. Who knows what our society is going to be like? But don't be alarmed if hatred increases. Don't be alarmed if violence increases, because God's Word says it's going to happen. Marvel not if the world hates you. That's His method in our world today. I think in the book of Revelation, even in the time of the tribulation, when the two witnesses come down and God sends them, doesn't the world love them? No. They love them so much that they rejoice when they're dead. And they send gifts to each other and have a great feast party time, worldwide televised, I'm sure. And they're all rejoicing that God's truth speakers are dead. That's the world. They hate the truth of God. This hatred and violence will occur, but we must do one thing. Continue in the love of the brethren. And get that fixed in our hearts first. And allow that to carry over into us giving the gospel to others so that they too can be a part of the brethren. They too can be a part of the body of Christ. That's what God has called us to here on this earth. Father, thank You for Your great love to us. We thank You for this passage of Scripture. And I pray that, Lord, You would help us to understand our responsibilities of giving the gospel. Lord, that we would see people being passed from death into life. And Lord, that would come through the power of Your Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, then we would have people that truly love us because of what Christ has done. Father, help us not to be alarmed in these days and when violence and hatred comes against us, but to know that it's part of Satan's plan, it's part of his actions, and it's been that way since the very beginning of time. Father, I ask that now You just bless the rest of our week. We thank You for the time we've had to be here tonight to pray, to remember these requests, and help us to be faithful over the next couple of days when these things come to our remembrance, that we would set aside time and pray earnestly for those that are in need, Father, that You would undertake in a mighty way for them. And Father, now bless us as we go our separate ways and give us safety tonight as we return back to our homes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good to see you tonight, and Lord bless you. Hope to see you on Sunday.